BSM.com.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on the 12th of March. You know what? So I'm a little upset this year because March 15th is actually going to be on a Saturday. So I don't get to be on the air playing the Ides of March on the Ides of March. So you can plan on hearing Vehicle by the Ides of March on Friday, on the 14th. I know it's going to be a day early, but I've got to have to make that concession because I'm not going to be on the air Saturday. At least I hope not. So we'll have to do it on Friday. But we will have Vehicle by the Ides of March. And of course, it will go out to Dirty Deb. It'll be dedicated to Dirty Deb, who made sure that it always got played on the Ides of March. Two songs I always think of her every time I play them is that song and I Put a Spell on You by Screamin' Jay Hawkins, because she had never heard Screamin' Jay before until I played it and then became a huge Screamin' Jay fan. So you will get to hear the Ides of March on Friday, Vehicle. Also, you know, I've talked a lot about WBCN, the former Great Boston station that's no longer with us, but you know, we had Deke on, and I'd love to get some of the other former jocks on. But that's also the date that WBCN went on the air, was the Ides of March. So maybe we'll play some of the songs you would have heard back on that station as well. Just trying to refresh something here on my screen. And by the way, when I say that's the day that it went on there, I mean with the rock and roll version of it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Check out that story about the cow going to the Dunkin' drive-thru on WBSM.com, the WBSM app. There's going to be a lot of news that gets you all riled up today, you know, just as every day. And you need a cow to drive through to kind of give you some levity. So check that out and keep that photo handy, because it's something to check out. So I guess Fall River Mayor Paul Coogan had his State of the City address yesterday and was talking about the train. And talking about, after the State of the City, they were discussing the train and talking about what a difference it's going to make for Fall River. And I think we're starting to see it is going to be a bigger deal than what some of us might have felt even just a year or so ago. I'm hearing a lot of excitement for being able to utilize this service. Not necessarily all for commuting to Boston every day, but in a lot of cases for people that just like having access to getting to Boston. A caller earlier mentioned taking the bus to Boston. I've done that before. There was a time when I was back when I was married, and or it might have been before we were married, but my wife was going to go to we were going to go to a concert together in Boston, a Tori Amos concert, but she was working north of Boston. I was home in Wareham, and logistically, it didn't make any sense for us to both drive to Boston and both have to park and all of that. So she says, "Well, just take the bus from the diner and meet me, and then we only have to park one car, and then when we go home, we live down the street from the diner. I'll just drop you off. You can pick up your car on the way home. It worked out perfectly. Dropped me off at South Station, and I just walked outside, and she drove by and picked me up, and everything worked out great. And I was like, wow, I should use the bus more often. Never use the bus again. But I will definitely use the train more than that for sure. And as I said, I went over to the New Bedford station yesterday. I took some photos, walked around, walked up onto the platform. Everything looks really good. And looks like things are ready to go. They're just finishing up some work on the pedestrian bridge. And then, you know, we're talking now 12 days away. 12 days away from the start of South Coast Rail. Something that has taken 30 plus years to become a reality. And now you're less than 2 weeks away. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. A little stuffy, so excuse me. It wasn't as warm this morning waking up. But that's all right. I still got my heat off. I refuse to put it back on the rest of the year. So I just want to go back to a couple of stories. I have been listening all morning, of course. So I thought it was funny when you were talking about the circus and stuff. The very first time I ever got on a train, my oldest brother, which is his birthday today, which is funny. He died very young. He was 58. Massive heart attack. But anyways, he bought me, I had my black patent leather shoes with cutest little white lace socks. I thought I was just the cutest thing ever. And my little pink outfit. And I remember we drove to Braintree, and he parked his car. I think I was about 8, maybe 9, because I remember this very vividly. And we drove on the subway. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. There was hardly anybody on it, but I remember just running to the windows, looking on one side, looking out the other. And we went into TD Gardens. I think it was called that back. No, it wasn't called that back then.
No, back then it would have been the Boston Garden. The old building would have still been there.
Right, the Boston Garden. And we went there and I saw the circus. And I just remember being in awe of the trapeze artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then driving home, I mean, it was just such an overload for my brain, all that, the animals and all that stuff. I fell asleep in the back seat. But I remember being so cold. He had an MGM with the plastic roof. Plastic window in the back. I was so cold. That's all I remember from that. But that was my first experience on the train. So it, for me, it would be kind of fun. I asked Laura if she would be my train buddy because I don't want to take the train by myself. You know, not the first time. You want to enjoy it with somebody anyways. And I do want to go into Boston and see the museum or the aquarium. I just really want to go back there because I haven't been there since it was my, what do you call it, from school.
Field trip.
Right, the field trip. So it will be fun. So we're going to do that in April. And that gentleman that called back in, he is the sweetest man, Tim. He's just, oh, I could just hug him to pieces. He has great little stories. And I would just have to say that I really enjoyed him calling in. And I hope things go better for him.
Yeah, I hope he gets some rest.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe he needs, I was wondering if you could give him my phone number if you want, not my email, but my phone number. If he's ever stuck and he needs his medications like that, and for some reason he had to wait, I'd be more than happy to help him out. And stuff like that. Well, so I don't know.
We will let him know. I will say this, if he's still listening, a great thing that helps me when I can't sleep, I get that sleepy time tea, and that knocks me right out.
Yeah, the chamomile, right?
I don't know. It's just whatever sleepy time is. I just pour a little cup of that, and I'm like...
Yeah, the chamomile. Yep, that's a good sleepy thing. Yeah, so anyways, I just wanted to say that. There was one more thing, but like I say, sometimes I get rambling and I forgot what the other thing I wanted to say was.
That's how I host the show every day.
Oh,
I just start rambling and forget what I was talking about.
Tim, we love your rambling. You can forget and start any conversation. We just love you. So I do remember, what is cabbage like? I haven't bought cabbage in years, but I am going to make make the dinner, but I'm not going to have one of your, I'm just going to put it in a crock pot. So I wanted to ask you, what kind of price, who's got a good price right now on it? Because I know they gouge price everything, even potatoes all of a sudden, you know, when it's right near St. Patrick's Day.
I would go to the butcher shop.
You think your cabbage would be cheaper than?
I would just check with them. I don't know if they have cabbage in house. I don't know if that's something that they got to get for you. I don't know if they're putting together. Beef. They definitely have corned beef. Yeah, but you got to get your order in.
The brisket is what I need to know. How much should I be paying for that? Because
it all depends on, you know, like if you go into one of the supermarkets usually this time of year. They have them pretty cheap because they get a whole bunch and they just want to move them all. So I think I usually pay, I don't know, like $12 for mine. And that comes in a little package with the seasonings and everything already.
Right.
And that's, I buy a pretty, you know, I get like a 3-pound one if I can fit it into the pot because I'm going to eat a whole bunch of it. So I get a pretty good size one. But, you know, I think you're probably between like $8 and $15 you should expect to pay.
Okay, good. Because, yeah, I remember last year that you had it and you were so excited. And, yeah, I think you lived off of it for like...
Yeah, I'll end up having it as a meal for a couple nights and then I'll make hash or stew with what's left over. Yep. Yeah, you get a good amount of time out of it. I wouldn't get more than one head of cabbage. That should be plenty for one person.
Yeah, the cabbage, right. And purple potatoes, the fingerlings. I hope I can find them.
I like to use the Red Bliss potatoes.
Okay.
And then I just put them right in the, I don't peel them or anything. I just put them right in the water as is.
Yep. Okay.
And then I cheat. I don't use regular carrots. I use baby carrots that are already peeled so that I don't have to spend any time peeling anything.
Well, you know what? I use those for my chicken soup and stuff.
Yeah so much easier.
So much easier, Tim. All right. Well, thank you so much. You have a great day.
You as well. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, you know, I was thinking... When Skeddy was talking about going to the circus, I was thinking about no trip to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus was complete without getting that light up flashlight toy, right? That you bought it every time you went to the circus and then it broke, like, you know, within days of getting it. So then when you went back, your parents would be like, don't you already have one of those? Like, no, I broke it. So you had to get another one. But I remember getting the one that was, you know, had the tiger head on the top and then like a siren light in the middle. A red siren light. I don't think they'd even sell those anymore. But then they had all different, every year they'd come out with different like weird little lights, but they always seemed to have the tiger one in red and in blue, maybe a yellow. I should go on eBay and order myself one of those. Just I'm taking a look right here. $50 for, is this the whole set? Yeah. 7 of them for $50. Do they work? This person got 5 out of the 7 heads to light up. But that you have to mess around with them to get them to work. Well, $50 seems like a lot of money to spend on something like that. If I can get one for like, yeah, this one's $10. I don't actually need it. I'm not really going to buy it. I posted a photo the other day of my banner that the kids made for me when I read for them at the Taylor School last week. And underneath it, I have my little Edaville museum on my office wall. And someone was like, oh, you collect Edaville stuff? And they've got a whole bunch of Edaville collectibles they want me to go look through. But I don't have any money to buy anything like that. But I'd be happy to look through your collection anyway because I'm a nerd and I want to see it all. I got to find, I don't know where it ended up. But I got to find, I have an LSD Atwood Cranberry Company cranberry box. I got to find that wherever that ended up. And if not, I'll just see if I can get another one. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here and we'll be right back. Welcome back. And say, if you're looking for someplace good to go for lunch today, why not Brax? Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, as well as the new Brax Tavern in Middleborough. They've got great deals for you for lunch each and every day. They have their $12.99 value menu at Brax. And we're talking about, you know, some really good deals on sandwiches like the Saucy Bird or Burger and a Beer for $11.99. Chicken Parm Sandwich with vodka sauce and lots of cheese for $12.99. Or maybe you want an entree. How about roast pork with a cranberry drizzle over mashed potatoes, $12.99. Those are just some of the items that they have on their new lunch value menu. Monday through Friday, during lunch hours. I mean, a burger and a beer for $12, you can't go wrong. And it's okay to have a beer in the middle of the day with lunch because it's part of the deal. It's just some of the many, many great items they have over there. And also, don't forget, too, that they're going to have some great stuff on the menu for St. Patrick's Day as well. And don't forget, too, the weather is going to start to get warmer, but we got a couple of days here in the 40s, a good excuse to go get some of Brax's famous brisket chili. Although, you can eat that in any weather, trust me. And they've even got a kids menu. So check out Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, Brax Tavern in Middleborough, and online at braxgrillandtap.com. All right, it's time now to go into the news and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
The House trying to prevent a government shutdown. Is the Department of Education closing down? And a new Tesla at the White House.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The House is passing a six-month funding bill to try to prevent a government shutdown. Here's Mark Mayfield.
The bill narrowly passed 217 to 213 on Tuesday, with all but one Republican supporting the six-month stopgap measure.
The Republicans stood together, and we had one Democrat vote with us to do the right thing, and that is to fund the government.
That's House Speaker Mike Johnson, who says the bill freezes funding, and it's the responsible thing to do. The proposal now heads to the Senate, where its fate remains uncertain. While Republicans control a slight majority in the Senate, Kentucky's Rand Paul has made it clear he's firmly against the bill. The government shutdown deadline is Friday night. I'm Mark Nayfield.
A deportation hearing is set for this morning in Lower Manhattan for a pro-Palestinian activist at Columbia University. Scott Pringle gives us details.
Mahmoud Khalil was arrested by ICE agents and had a student visa revoked. His lawyers are now challenging deportation orders, arguing he's here legally with a green card. Students are weighing in on the fact that Khalil was a key leader of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Columbia.
Should have the fundamental right to free speech and the right to protest.
We shouldn't be supporting the individuals who foment discriminatory rhetoric.
President Trump has said there will be more similar deportation efforts coming for people who the Trump administration feels are engaged in pro-terrorist anti-Semitic activity.
Oklahoma is the latest state to report positive cases of measles. The state's Department of Health says that two people began showing symptoms after being exposed to measles cases associated with the outbreaks in Texas and New Mexico. Texas has reported over 200 cases of the highly contagious disease, while New Mexico is up to 33. A magnitude 5.3 earthquake struck the Azores yesterday. It struck at 7:14 local time near San Miguel. The earthquake struck on the anniversary of the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan and caused the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Billy Joel is postponing his current tour for 4 months due to an undisclosed medical condition.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
A statement on the piano man's Instagram account says he's taking time to recover from recent surgery and to undergo physical therapy under the supervision of his doctors. Billy Joel saying he regrets postponing any shows, but his health comes first. In January, Joel had to reschedule a Florida show due to a medical procedure. In late February, fan video at a show in Connecticut shows him falling and landing flat on his back after throwing a mic stand. His show in Detroit with Stevie Nicks has been rescheduled for November 15th. His remaining postponed shows, including at least three with Sting, have been pushed back until 2026. I'm Jennifer Bolsoni.
WBSM Sports.
The Oklahoma City Thunder visit the Celtics tonight at 7:30. And the Bruins have won back-to-back games after rallying for a 3-2 victory over the Panthers at the Garden last night.
Now, your ABC6 South Coast forecast.
Waking up, the temperatures in the mid and upper 30s is actually not too bad for this time of year. I love to put a little perspective on the forecast because, yeah, it's cold, but we're supposed to be in the upper 20s. So I'd call it a little bit of a win if you like springtime weather. Now, that said, unfortunately, our springtime stretch comes to an end this afternoon where temperatures will still be a little above average, but in the mid and upper 40s, we're not quite as toasty as the last few days. We'll see some sunshine this afternoon. Not a bad Wednesday, to say the least. Overnight tonight, though, things get interesting as our next system rolls around. Could bring us a stray snow shower, even a couple raindrops as we start your Thursday morning. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
It was love in a minute. It was love in a flash. These are no pleasure. No comfort, I bring me no peace. It's a weight on my shoulder, it's a fatal disease. So don't tear me up. I don't ever wanna see your picture again. And don't poison my blood. I don't wanna see your face here no more.
What a great decade the 90s were for the Stones, because you got a couple of great Stones albums with Voodoo Lounge and Bridges to Babylon, and you got the Wandering Spirit album from Mick Jagger, which had that and what's the name of the other song where he has he sings in the falsetto? I can't think of it. It'll pop into my head. But anyway, yeah, great, great, great run of albums there for both Mick. And Keith had his, the Expensive Winos? They had their album out then too. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Happy birthday, by the way. Well, happy birthday to anybody whose birthday it is today. But a happy birthday to Rich Cause, the man behind Svengoolie. I don't know if you get to watch Svengoolie on MeTV. MeTV was gone in this area. Now it's back again. It's all confusing. But Svengoolie has been probably the preeminent horror host now for a couple of decades. And Rich is, of course, the second Svengoolie, I believe. But definitely the most recognizable and just a great guy. And also, I want to take a moment to note the passing of the late, great Bob Rivers, who passed away yesterday from cancer. Bob Rivers was a Boston area DJ. He was one of the V66 guys. He had the show on there. But also, you probably know him best for his Twisted Christmas albums. You know, the 12 Pains of Christmas, Rigging Up the Lights, that one. And what else did they have? Walking Around in Women's Underwear and all that kind of stuff. That was all Bob Rivers. And he passed away. So RIP, Bob. But again, you know, I'm a radio nerd, so we're going to talk about radio folks and TV folks and horror hosts and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that we've also been talking about this week is the city council. And as I mentioned earlier, now the guy who filed this public meeting, this open meeting law violation, Patrick Higgins, he does this all the time. He literally has a website, openmeetinglawenforcer.com, which is registered in Alabama. But he's here on the South Coast, and he keeps an eye out on all these violations or potential violations and files complaints. And so he did file a complaint about New Bedford City Councilor Linda Morad's group text message. So this will have to be placed on file with the city council attorney, David Garatowski, in this week's meeting. But this, you know, it mentions here right in the complaint, description of alleged violation. The city council violated the open meeting law as follows. City Councilor Linda Morad sent a group text message to all city councilors, which was shared with WBSM's Chris McCarthy, in which she states, which one of you is sharing city council emails and or information that is distributed among the 11 of us and not public knowledge? This is a flagrant this is according to the complaint. This is a flagrant violation of the open meeting law, as well as what are the city council emails and or information that is being distributed among the 11 of us and not public knowledge. So the action that that Patrick Higgins is requesting is that they release and publish a copy of all the city council emails and or information that is distributed among the 11 of them, which Morad states is not public knowledge. And all members must attend a formal open meeting law webinar without delay. So again, I don't think this will really go anywhere in terms of the how the city council will handle it, but it'll be interesting to see if the attorney general's office does anything about it. Because now the complaint has been formally filed. So somebody had to complain for it to be a violation, you know? The attorney general's office wasn't just listening to WBSM and saying, well, maybe if they talk about it, we'll have something to file. No, somebody's got to complain about it. And so that's what Patrick Higgins does, is he files these complaints whenever there's a potential violation. And so now this is going to be on the attorney general's radar. So we'll see if it actually goes anywhere. I've heard from differing sides within the council of people who think that it was an open meeting law violation and people who think that it wasn't. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And in his complaint here, Patrick Higgins has a point. It's not even so much about that email, because they can say, well, that wasn't really, that wasn't council business that the text message was about. It was about, you know, council dynamics. It's like you could say it's akin to sending out a text message to all 11 counselors saying, you know, who's going to bring in the birthday cake for somebody's birthday on Thursday? The counselors can have a group text message where they all text each other about that. It's when things are official, you know, council business that they have to have in a public manner. And she alludes to the fact that there are emails distributed among the 11 of them that are not public knowledge. And if the longevity pay issue was one of the subjects of those emails, would that be something that should have been out in the public? Should that have been a discussion that happened in front of the public? It's definitely going to warrant an investigation by the Attorney General's office. And again, I don't know for a fact, but, you know, my gut tells me that Councilor Morad knew that text message was going to get out, because she even put a line in there that said that. But she must have a encyclopedic knowledge of open meeting law, because she was the one putting together those dinners and was telling us, you know, when she was the council president, not to be concerned about it. Now, I disagree with Chris. I disagree with Jack Spillane. I think it's entirely possible that 11 adults can go out to dinner at a restaurant together and say, hey, we're not going to talk about any council business while we're here. And in fact, that might be the last thing that they want to discuss. When I go out to the company Christmas party and we all are getting together and having dinner and drinks and having a good time, and somebody starts talking about work, save that for tomorrow. I don't want to talk about that now. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's just have fun. I think it's entirely possible that that could happen. But as you know, Jack was saying, because he was coming on with me regularly at that time, it was before he was retired, we were, you know, the fact that the possibility exists is concerning enough. And again, all they had to do to at least satisfy Jack would be to list publicly that they were going to be going to these restaurants. But I don't know how far this is going to go. I don't know what will happen if this does get found to be an open meeting law violation. I think the more concerning question, again, and I will reiterate, this is Patrick Higgins saying this, but what are those other emails that she's referring to? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Billy Sackfields.
Hello?
Hello.
This, you reserved the right to call back, and and you did.
How dare you question Councilor Morad's? How dare you question her? She's the best one on that city council. She controls everything. She even controls the mayor. How dare you question her?
Well, what do you think, Gil? You've been following this stuff for a long time. Do you think that text message was an open meeting law violation?
What's the odds? You don't tell me. I'm going to tell you. You want to talk about what the city council, back when John Saunders was the president of the city council, okay? Tom Kennedy resigned, okay? And John Saunders got Brian Gomes, that's when he ran for mayor or something, and he was not on the council. He got him to come back, okay, to be on the council. John called a special meeting for the city council. Do you know that he couldn't get a quorum, 6 people, to come to that meeting? And I'm going to tell you, you know how I put my nose in everybody's business, okay? I get off the chair, the bench, and I walked out down to the front door of the city hall. Guess who the other six city councilors across by the Whaling Museum statue? Everybody, all the people that did, they were there by the statue. That's when Jojo Fortz was even on the thing. Brian Gomes was there. And finally, because I was inside the door, Jojo sees me and he starts walking to the clock. And I stood up, I went outside and I says, you guys got a lot of nerve. John, I even yelled at Witch's Face, Brian Gomes. He got you on there and you won't go up there so you can have a quorum. You guys are violating the law right there. You're 6 people together, and you're not talking about the weather. So this has been going for years, and everybody knows it. Why are people don't realize that Linda Morad is the cancel of that thing? What's it going to do, get hit over the head with a bat?
I don't know. Let's hope nobody gets hit over the head with a bat.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. But you see my thing about the... Chinese driver, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. And you see the thing about the donkey and the tiger?
Yes.
Okay. So those are words that she thinks she's unbeatable. She controls. They're afraid of her. I mean, look at all the videos. That court's even afraid of her. Okay, so come on, don't pick on Linda Morad, man. If you listen to her, she's the best thing than ice cream. Thank you.
All right, have a good day. All right, we got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program before we'll give way to South Coast Now and Chris McCarthy. No mayor today because the mayor is on vacation, but Chris will have plenty of great conversation for you. And I got to ask you, Chris, when was the last time your name was on a formal complaint to the Attorney General's office?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. All right. So not that long. How long since it was actually on an open meeting law violation complaint?
This will be my first. No, actually, that's not.
That was in the 90s. All right. Well, anyway, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about that and more coming up in the next hour. But we've still got 9 minutes for you and I to discuss. One thing that I've been bringing up throughout the course of this morning is that you can check out that story we have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Just a fun story little something to not be very heavy, you know, a little lighthearted thing. A cow going to the drive-thru to get a donut.
My kind of cow.
Yeah. And if that cow was to come down here right now, Chris McCarthy would tell it, bring donuts. Bring donuts. Maybe, and who knows? The folks over there at the Little Patch of Heaven Sanctuary, you know, they might be listening. They're not that far. If Kevin can walk to that Dunkin', he can walk down to WBSM. So, and if you do, bring a dozen donuts for everybody. So anyway, yeah, check out that story. See the photo. It'll make you smile. We also have a story about the new Mexican cantina that's opening in Fall River. It finally has an opening date, and according to Jackson over from Fun 107, it's going to be opening tomorrow. So you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And then also, let me just bring this up because it looks like it didn't go over to the website. So let me go to the Fun 107 website and make sure it gets over there. Because we have a story about the, well, first of all, this I found interesting. I'm going to bring this up in a second. But Justin Marks, the star Fairhaven running back, is going to be playing for Portsmouth Abbey next year. So you can read more about that. But I found this to be interesting, and we've got the story up there today. Why Chick-fil-A will never be in a Massachusetts rest area. No jokes, Chris. I saw that look on his face right away. But, you know, you see all of these rest areas on the side of the highway that have a Burger King or a McDonald's, and you say, well, why wouldn't there be a Chick-fil-A there? That you'd think people would love one of those, right? Because people love Chick-fil-A's. And the reason why is it's required by MassDOT for those rest areas to be open 7 days a week and for whoever's in there to be serving 7 days a week. And as you know, Chick-fil-A is famously closed on Sunday. So because they won't open 7 days a week, they won't be open on Sundays, they won't have them in one of those rest areas. So I find that to be pretty interesting. I'm not a huge Chick-fil-A fan anyway. Definitely not a fan of their, you know, political stances. But I also think that the food itself is pretty overrated. It's not worth waiting in line at the drive-thru for 45 minutes to get a, you know, mediocre chicken sandwich. Yeah, and it is expensive. To me, the best fast food chicken sandwich, got to go with the Wendy's chicken sandwich. The spicy chicken, fantastic. But I also love the grilled chicken over there. And nowadays, you know, everybody's coming out with their chicken sandwich. KFC's got their sandwiches now. Popeye's got their sandwiches now. And you don't have to wait in line. Well, I mean, every time I go over to Popeye's, it's a disaster. So we won't get into all that. Anyway, I got to take my final break. We will be right back to wrap things up. All right, we'll squeeze in one call here before the end of the program, but just a reminder that if you are looking outside your window and seeing this nice, bright sunlight, that could be saving you money. All you have to do is go to isaacsonsolar.com and set up an appointment to have them come out and take a look at your home, and they'll let you know if you're a good fit for solar. And if you are, they can get you saving before you know it. isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. All right, we have about a minute left. What's on your mind?
Hey, is it possible, along the thought process of Gilly with Linda, that every time you show up at Popeye's, they know you are the voice of Grady New Bedford and you have all the power, that you intimidate them and they all screw up your order?
I think that happens to everybody that goes there. I don't think it's just me.
It's you, Tim. Tim, come on, don't be so humble. It's you.
Chris was just telling me that he knows other people that have their orders that get screwed up at Popeye's every time.
Yeah, but come on, you're being humble, guy.
No, I'd like to think that they screw it up because they're just inept.
Like you said 17 minutes ago, just to be a little light and lively. That's why I called in. Like,
absolutely. All right, thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
Take it easy. All right, and you know, I mean, listen, I don't want to dump on fast food workers, but when it happens every single time, there's a problem. They sent out an email saying, You get 12 chicken tenders for $10. I was like, wow, what an amazing deal. Apparently everybody got that email and showed up and they're like, we don't even have chicken tenders. So, okay, fine, whatever. Anyway, that'll do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Chris and